2 Corinthians chapter number 5, we are looking at and going to finish up tonight, Lord willing, on the series on the must of the Bible, the biblical must that we find in Scripture. And so far we have looked at 7, tonight will be number 8. And we began by looking at you must be born again. We also looked at the Son of Man must be lifted up. He that cometh to God must believe that He is and is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He must increase, but I must decrease. We must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. We must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We must put off this tabernacle. We must die. And tonight we want to look at we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And we want to look at 2 Corinthians 5, 5 through 11, verse 5. Paul writes to a suffering, persecuted church. Now he that hath wrought us for the self same thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that He hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful and grateful for your blessings on our life. It has been a good Lord's Day, and we thank you for all your provisions for us today. We thank you for the privilege to come this morning and worship you and open your word and the good meal today. We thank you for that and then the ability to come back tonight and hear your word once again. We are certainly a blessed people and we are grateful and thankful that you have made opportunity for us to do that. God, we pray that while we're here tonight, you would open our minds and our ears and our hearts to your word. Help us to clearly see your greatness and your majesty here in the text. May we certainly put right priorities where they need to be. Give us a fresh vision of that which is important. And God, may we glorify you in all that we do and all that we say. We love you and we thank you. Speak to our hearts tonight through your word, we ask. In Jesus' name and for Christ's sake, amen. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Well, you read certain people who are scholars and commentators on particular text in the Bible, and it seems like they can't help but read certain texts according to their own biases or their own ideas, their own eschatological understandings. But, you know, a lot of times this is best we just take the Word of God as being the Word of God and move forward as we see here. So let me give you five things tonight. Now all I want to do is walk through these verses tonight and just say some things that lead up to the idea of us standing before God one day and giving account and sort of getting us on the right direction here, what all this means. So let's begin tonight by looking at the preparation. The preparation. That's from verse 5. Now he that hath wrought, the word wrought there means to equip or to prepare. Now he that hath prepared or equipped us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Of course, what Paul was talking about here is the subject of death and these bodies wearing out and us going on to be with the Lord, and in our bodies groaning for Christ. And he says here that while we're here on this earth, in and through salvation, we are being equipped, or we are being prepared by God. There is an ongoing process going on in the life of every believer. And one of the mistakes I think we make is that we put so much emphasis on the external. A couple of things God did not do in salvation. He did not eradicate us from the flesh. We still have that. And he did not fix our dying and decaying bodies. One day he will. But right now he hasn't. And so salvation, or the work of God, is happening inwardly and not externally. Are you with me? Inwardly and not externally. So what God is doing is he is working in our hearts. He is working in our souls. And the work of God is not an external work. And sometimes we are merely looking externally at what God may be doing externally and ignoring primarily what God is doing internally. God is working in the lives and the hearts and the souls of man when it may not seem that he is working externally. You would understand that if you're talking about a suffering, persecuted church, right? Because it doesn't look like God's helping. It doesn't look like God's working. It doesn't look like God's moving. Because all this persecution and all these troubles are coming against us. But Paul here says is that what's happening, what God is doing, is an internal work in the life of every believer. He's equipping us and he is preparing us for the life to come. Amen? You understand, this is not our home. This is not, we are not citizens of this country. Amen? We're just passing through. Our citizenship and our home is somewhere else. And so God's not preparing us to live here forever. He's preparing us to live with him in glory forever. Not here. So the work is going on internally and not necessarily externally. And then notice the person of preparation. Notice what he says here. He hath wrought for us for the safe self thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. So, what is it that is, who is it that is working in us and preparing us for the life to come? Well, it is the Holy Spirit. Every believer has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, you know, sometimes we think that the Holy Spirit just appears every now and then, right? Well, I tell you what, the Holy Spirit really showed up today. Well, you understand the Holy Spirit is present in every believer, and the Holy Spirit is active and operating continually in the life of the believer. Amen? He's not just a force or a person that just shows up from time to time. He's working in our lives. He's preparing us. He's equipping us for the life to come. And so there is the preparation that every born-again believer is undergoing inwardly and by the Holy Spirit. Now look at number two, the present. Look at what he says in verse number six. He says, therefore, we are always confident because God is preparing us internally by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. So, the present today, right now, in this time, not past, not future, right now, the present, Paul says there is a confidence he has. And the confidence that he has is different than the confidence that maybe we have. His confidence is not in that God will protect him from death. That's not his confidence. Okay? That's what sort of we want God to always do. We want Him to protect us from dying. We don't want to die. But Paul doesn't say that his confidence is in God protecting him from death. His confidence is that he doesn't have to abandon his mission because he knows that God will not abandon him in death. So if there comes suffering and trials and troubles and persecutions against him, he knows this. His confidence is not that God will swoop in and save him from dying, but that God will not abandon him in his death. For he knows that the Lord has destined for him a glorious place and a glorious time for him in eternity. He knows that Christ dwells in heaven and that the believer cannot be present with him in the same way until after he dies. Amen? So, his confidence is in, if worse comes to worse and they kill me, Christ will be with me. Amen? Then notice not only his confidence, but notice his commitment. He says this, we live by faith, not by sight. Do you get that? And we hear that, but we don't really believe that, do we? Because almost everything we decide is on sight and not faith. God's working. God really worked today because I saw something. Right? Or God didn't work today because I didn't see anything. You see, living by faith and not by sight means that we walk with God not because we have a literal pillar of cloud or fire to guide us as old Israel did. Amen? We don't have that. What do we have? We have the Word of God. And we walk by that. We don't have a physical, literal manifestation of God who is moving and we're moving with Him. So Paul believes in Colossians that our life is hidden in Christ and that you cannot prove it from outward appearances many times. And those who judge things only by outward appearances, such as physical suffering or physical weakness or near-death experiences, don't see the entire whole truth as they should. Because bad things happen doesn't mean God's not on the throne. Because bad things happen to you doesn't mean necessarily that God is not working in your life. We live by faith, not by sight. And the external appearances, whatever they may be, good or bad, don't mean a thing. Amen? We walk by faith, not by sight. And only faith can take measure of unseen realities and unseen weaknesses and unseen morality and transform them into something real and true. Amen? So, he is committed to walk by faith, not by sight. And his confidence is in, if he dies, God will be with him. Amen? There's where his confidence lies. Number three, notice his preference. He says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Did you hear that? Now he says this. He says, I'm confident that if I die, Christ will be with me, and I'm committed not to look on the external things and not to be guided by external situations, but to walk by faith and not by sight. And then he says this, I would prefer to just rather leave this body and go on and be with the Lord. That's his preference. And that's almost nobody's preference here. Amen? Of course, you know what they say. Everybody wants to go to heaven. They just don't want to go today. Right? So he says here that he would prefer to go on. Now, why would he prefer to go on? Well, number one, his goal is Christ. Right? When God saves us, isn't that our goal? To be with Him, to worship Him, to see Him, to spend eternity with Him. Isn't that the goal of your life? Why would He want to go? Because that's the goal of His life. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body. He says, I know this. I can't be with the Lord if I'm in this body. But if I can get out of this body, I can be with the Lord. And the way we get out of this body is through death. My goal, listen, if you kill me, this is what he's saying, if they kill me, all they have done is move me toward my goal. They've just expedited, they've just advanced me, they have just progressed me toward what I truly want. Amen? Why would we fear death? Why would we fear the sword of men when all they can do is progress us toward the presence of the Lord? Amen? So it should be our goal tonight, the goal of every one of us who are saved by the grace of God, it should be this: oh, I want to see Him and look upon His face and there to sing forever, the one who saved me by grace. Amen? It is our goal to be with Him, to see Him, to worship Him, to glory in His presence. Don't you groan for that? Well, the goal. I'm willing to die, but only because it means I will be in the presence of Christ. And guess what? If I die as a born-again believer, that's what I will gain. I will gain Christ. So, Paul believes that there will be death and there will be resurrection. And he will be with Christ. What do you gain in death? Isn't that what he said? For me to die is gain. For me to live is Christ. I live because it's necessary for me to live. But if I had my druthers, if I had my preferences, I'd just go ahead and drop this body right now and go on to be with Him. Because the minute I die, the minute I draw my last breath, the minute your guillotine cuts off my head, the very moment that happens, I'm in the presence of my King. I have gained that which I have pursued as my goal, my life. I have gotten it. Isn't that what we're promised? You lose this life, you gain Christ. Amen? You see, that's not an external work. That's an internal work that will become external later on. Amen? So is preference. Notice number 4, the pleasure. Here's what he says. Wherefore, we labor. Here's what he's, get the flow of thought. I'm confident that I'm willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. If I die, I'm going to be in the Lord's presence. Wherefore, because of that, we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. That word accepted literally means to be pleasing to Him. Now, listen. Paul says, one day I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord. I'm going to be out of this world. They're going to kill me. They're going to chop my head off, and I'm going to be out of here, and you may be out of here as well. He's telling the church. But to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's my goal anyway, right? And I'll gain that when I leave this world. So if that's true, if you truly believe that you're going to be present with the Lord one day, don't you want to please Him whether you're here or whether you're there? Amen? Now, notice how he puts it here. He says we labor. We labor. We strive. We earnestly put forth the effort please God. I'm going to be with Jesus one day. But until I get there, I want to please Him. I want to do everything I can to be pleasing unto Him. Where do I find what's pleasing unto Him? In the Word of God. What's pleasing unto God? That's what I want to do. I don't want to live my life for myself. Do you? I want my life to be a sweet aroma in the nostrils of God. I want to please Him. Amen? Because one day I'm going to be with Him. And when I get there, I want to be pleasing to Him as well. Amen? So there is this labor, there is this striving to be pleasing unto God. Because I know that I will be in His presence when I die, right now I want to strive and labor to please Him. Amen? To be approved of Him. And then there is the longing to please God. Do you feel the longing in His heart? Doesn't matter whether I'm here or whether I'm there. Doesn't matter if I'm out of His literal presence or I'm in His literal presence. What I want is to be approved of God. I want to please God. Amen? That's what I long for. Amen? You ever had a longing? What do you long for? Oh, I long to please Him. I long to be approved by Him. I long to exalt and glorify Him to His pleasure. I long for that. So whether I'm here or whether I'm there, that's what I want to do. I want to please Him. And while I'm here, I'm going to labor to do that. Amen. And what He's doing, He's trying to tell the church, that's what you need to be doing. Right? Number five, then we're done. The presentation. Here's where we need trying to get to. Verse number 9 and 10. What he says. For, because, why do I want to please Him? Why do I want to strive and labor to please Him? Because we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in this body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We must all appear. Coming into the presence of God, appearing before His majesty, His holiness. We all must appear before His judgment seat. And He will examine all the things we have done in this body and determine their goodness or their badness. Now here is the rub here. We need to spend just a few minutes here. How many of us must appear? All of us. We don't have to appear before Pilate. We don't have to appear before Herod. We don't have to appear before anyone earthly, and we don't have to appear in the court of public opinion. But we do have to appear before the one that ultimately counts. No one escapes it. You can't melt into the crowd and avoid it. In other words, every single one of us will be held accountable for our individual actions and our commitments. This reality will cause us to do two things. It should. Number one, persevere. You know, one of the things that persecution does, or trouble does, or trials do, is that they tend to make us want to quit. Well, understand this. Next time you want to quit and give up, remember this. We all will stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day. And you will give an account for quitting on God. Say amen. Because I hope that we would agree that quitting would not be pleasing. Right? So, This is what we have to understand, that everyday actions have consequences that are eternal. So what we do, how we do it, why we do it, all of that will be taken into account by God on the day that we stand before Him. And this is not to find out if you're going to heaven or hell. That's already been settled by Christ. Amen? But He's going to review the things that we've done in this body and see whether they've been good or bad. They have nothing to do with our acceptance in Christ in heaven. But have we been good stewards? When we think about standing one day in the presence of Christ and giving account, I've already got too much to give account for. Amen? I don't want to slow down and to quit and to let trials and troubles and difficulties cause me to stop pleasing God. Because one day I have to stand and give an account to Him. Now, I don't have to give an account to you, right? But I won't escape giving account to Him. Amen? So, the idea of being presented or appearing before the judgment seat of Christ should make us persevere, should make us continue, should make us desire to please Him in all that we do and have proper motives and do things the right way. You see, pressure from earthly people and things can only go so far, right? If you got to give an account to a human, you can just avoid the human, right? I'll do what I want to, and I'll just avoid you, and I won't have to give an account to you. You can't avoid God. You can't avoid Christ. You got to give an account. You have to be accountable to Him. And then, if that's true, if we believe that all men will stand before God one day in judgment, what does He say? He says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. Won't that be a terrible day for some? Now we think, I'm going to be in the presence of God. Won't that be a wonderful thing? Drawing into the presence of God and the throne room of God and the judgment of God will be for many a terrible day. Knowing therefore the terror of God, what do? We persuade men. So not only should knowing that we are going to stand before Christ one day and give an account for the deeds that we've done in this body, whether good or bad, not only should that help us persevere and do the right thing and do good things and please God, but they should cause us to keep proclaiming the message to those who don't know Christ. Knowing they will stand before God one day and be judged for their sins. We won't be judged for our sins. They will, if they don't know Christ. What an awful thing that would be. Amen? They will be judged and found wanting. So because I will stand before God one day, give an account for what I have done in this body, the stewardship that I have been given with the opportunities I have been given, I better know that I will have to give an account for people I told and didn't tell. Say amen. That people are going to have to endure the terror of God. And I didn't try to persuade them otherwise. So we don't fear men, because all men can do is kill your body. And isn't that what we do? We're afraid to tell others about Christ because we're afraid what might happen. We might lose a job. Amen? or they may kill us. You know, I don't know what I would do placed in that situation when, you know, you think about those things, or I think about those things. You know, what if ISIS grabs you and puts you in a orange jumpsuit and puts you on your knees and ties your hands behind your back and gives you something to read? You going to read it? I've seen enough of them to figure out reading don't help you anyway. Amen? Don't fear men. All they can do is take your life. All they can do is expedite you into the presence of God. Fear God. You stand before Him one day. Fear God. And fear for them who don't know Him. You know, one of the things I don't think we do is we don't fear. We don't have a true, genuine fear for those who don't know Christ. Because to stand before God and not know Christ is going to be a terrible day. Many in the church, right? There'll be some preachers. There'll be many preachers, many deacons, many Sunday school teachers. We've done all this. Jesus says, I didn't know you. What an awful day. What an awful day that will be. What an awful day it will be to think you had all things taken care of, but you didn't. What an awful day it will be for your loved ones when they stand before God without Christ and judged on their own sins. What an awful day that will be. Do you fear for them? And do you tell them that? I fear for you. I'm scared to death for you. That death may come, something may happen. You may be standing before God tonight. Oh, I fear for you. Instead of the flippant attitude, well, we don't, you know, if they do, they do, they don't. To appear before God in the judgment seat of Christ, we must all, as believers, do that. No escape. Amen? Can I ask you tonight? What if that was tonight? Tonight, you must appear before Christ, right? Because God has given him judgment, right? God has given him judgment. You must appear before him. He is going to, let's just imagine, he is going to examine and review all that you have done in your body or not done, and the reason you did it or the reason you didn't do it since you've been saved. How's that going to go for you? I think what Paul is trying to say here is this. Don't put so much emphasis on your body. Take the persecutions. Don't shy away. You know, we often want to shy away from the persecutions, take away the pain, you know, and what your body has to endure for Christ, that'll be good in the judgment. Amen? If you try to save your body here, that won't be good in judgment, will it? I wasn't willing to be persecuted. I wasn't willing to go, I just wasn't willing to do that for God. We got to stand before God about that, don't we? Don't we? So don't worry about the persecutions. God has promised us that we have eternal life. And He has given us the Holy Spirit, and He's preparing us right now, internally, for that next life in which we will live. So have confidence that while we're here in the body, we're absent from the Lord, and we're walking by faith, not by sight. Don't think that the hard times and the difficult times mean anything. They really don't. Walk by faith, not by sight. And truly prefer. It's better to be with Him than stay here. Amen? And people that I talk to really don't believe that. They're clawing for more time, clawing for more days, when to be with Him is far better than that. Amen? Live your life to please God. Labor to do it. Long to do it. Because one day we'll stand before Him. All of us. We must. And I pray that truth will cause us to persevere and to proclaim loudly the grace of God to all those who need to hear. Amen. We must all appear before the judgment seat of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word tonight. We pray, God, that You would use it to speak to our hearts. And to what degree this judgment will be and what the rewards of all of that will be, I'm not sure. But God, I know this. Every born-again believer will stand before Christ. And God, I want my life to be pleasing to You. And I want every life in this church to be pleasing unto You. So God, help us with that truth in mind to live our lives for the glory of God here, knowing that we are accountable before You, who sees and knows all things. Don't let us put any emphasis on physical weakness or physical suffering or death experiences. Let us know that we have something greater waiting for us in Christ. And so help us to live our days here for Your glory and for Your honor. And help us to tell others about Christ. In Jesus' name and for Christ's sake we pray. Amen.